Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The New Testament lesson for today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. This can be found on page 1082 of your pew Bible. Led by the Spirit, the early believers in Christ established a pattern of Christian fellowship, which is still practiced in today's church. A reading from Acts chapter 2, beginning with the 42nd verse. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Well, sometimes life and work and even church can feel like an obligation or a duty. We're going through the motions, but we're not sensing the meaning anymore. And there's some people that actually avoid church because they think it's dry or powerless. But you didn't hit the snooze button. You're here today, and I'm so glad you are, because we get to look together how we encounter Jesus through the word and sacrament. It's actually his Holy Spirit that brings them to life for us. In our sermon series that we're in right now, we're unpacking the order of worship, why we do what we do. And our order is that pattern that we follow every week, and it's a way that God woos us back to himself. It's a way we encounter Jesus again. And in fact, our text for today shows us how God has done this since the earliest days of the church. And I'm going to step down from the pulpit just for a moment, because I want to highlight for you the design of this church and how it was built. If you notice, the raised up right at the center, we have the table, the Lord's table. And I love that this aisle goes out and it goes straight through those two doors out back, which means it's an invitation for the world to come in, to come and receive what the Lord has them as they come to the heart of the church. And we also have on that same level the baptismal font, which is the waters of new life and a new walk with Jesus. Above them, we have the Word of God. And you notice that giant Bible there. And it's raised up high so that we might learn about what these mean about Jesus' life and ministry. And it's lifted and lifts our eyes up, and it just brings us forward. But it's not to elevate the preacher. It's to elevate the word that is being proclaimed. And then, as you see, the only piece of artwork in the whole sanctuary is this giant wooden cross, and everything in the church points to and draws our eyes to that. It really lifts us up to God. And that cross is an empty cross, because Christ is risen. He is no longer there, but that's what we come to celebrate every week when we come to this church. And so the whole design of the church is to draw us into relationship with God and also with one another. The word is the Bible, and the sacraments are communion and baptism. These are at the heart of who we are and what we do. And they show us Jesus. They can fill us with his Holy Spirit power to follow him and to live as he lived. Our passage for today shows us how these became the center of the early church's life together and why they still are for us today. Our passage comes right after the day of Pentecost, which you may know is 50 days after Jesus was resurrected, and the Holy Spirit fell with power on the disciples, and Peter got up and proclaimed an amazing sermon, and it was so powerful that that day, the numbers of people that professed faith in Jesus and got baptized were 3,000. That's a sermon right there. So with that, all of that's going on, and then we hear this description. Right after that scene, we hear the description of what life was like for that early church and what they did together, and tells us about our story as well. So let's take a look together at verse 42 through 45. And as we do, I'm going to pause after each verse, but I want you to apply some active imagination to think about what might that scene have been like or felt like to be there. So beginning at verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now I want you to imagine this large group. You know, we have thousands of new believers that are gathering around crowded tables or maybe seated on the floor in a large room, and they're being taught. They're studying together. They're sharing their stories and stories about God's impact with one another. They celebrated communion and prayed, talking to God together. And let's see what happens when they do this. In verse 43, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. What we see is God answered their prayers. God answered them. And awe, which is holy fear, fell upon them. And that means they encountered the living God. And through the Holy Spirit at work in them, the apostles were able to do signs and wonders just as Jesus did. And in verse 44, we go on to read, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And what that's describing for us is that this early church was taking care of each other. Strangers became friends. They shared with each other. And God was knitting them together as a family who needed each other to grow. The Holy Spirit was in all of it. Now, do you notice in those four short verses how much of our order of worship series is found in this text? Last week, Gina led us on prayer. 2 weeks before, I talked about that sharing and offering as we did our sermon on tithes and offerings. And next week, Pastor Chuck will lead us as we talk about fellowship. Even in the earliest days of the church, these were all core practices that set people apart as disciples of Jesus and made them into a church family. And they were so powerful that other people had to come and see what was going on. And I want to take a moment just to highlight two of those. The first is the apostles' teaching, and the other is the breaking of bread. Now, the apostles' teaching included all about Jesus. It was about his life, his death, and his resurrection. And this teaching had authority. The apostles' teaching became the books of the New Testament, which at that time were happening in real time and later were written down. And here at Stanwich, we believe the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament are God's message to us. They are inspired and authoritative. This is God's word, God's living word. And it's the place we go to encounter Jesus. Our mission statement says that we're a Christ-centered community rooted in biblical truth using gospel proclamation. The gospel is the good news that Jesus is Lord. He came to die for our sins so that we might walk in new and abundant life and have life eternal. Our church's covenant was written a long time ago, back in 1731, and it's the document that all our new members affirm when they join our church. Now, that year was a long time ago. That was the year before George Washington was born. And not only that, it is right up here. We have a copy of it. You can see this is a much later edition, 1902. It's a little weathered, but I'm sure the original document would be a lot more weathered if we still had that with us today. But I want to tell you what the covenant says about the apostles' teaching or the Bible. It tells us the Holy Scriptures are our rule of faith and practice. They are our North Star. That means we read, study, digest, and meditate on them to grow our faith and to guide us as to how we should live. And there's another place we can find out more about what happens when we encounter the word, and that is in Hebrews 4, verse 12. It tells us, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." That word penetrates us with conviction, but it's conviction that we know is God's kindness, which leads us to repentance. It is alive. It's interacting with our lives. Many of you have shared stories with me about opening the Bible, and there was the word you needed for that particular moment in your life. Or others of you have said that you do your devotions with God day in and day out, but then one day you read something and you can sense God speaking those words into your life at that moment. Others have told me their favorite verses, and they go back to those when they have a hard time and are going through difficult times. The word is living and active. Now, one of the challenges with the Bible is that sometimes it's difficult to wrestle with. It can be hard to understand. It can be challenging. But here's the good news. We don't have to understand it alone. We do so in community. We do that when we're here in church wrestling with the text together. We do it in our life groups when we listen to how the word is talking to us in community. But there's more. We also do so with the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that reveals insights, that opens our hearts and minds to the deeper truths in these words. It's the Holy Spirit who instructs us and gives us power to apply Scripture to our own lives. Now, if we accept the challenge to be archaeologists digging for the truth, treasure awaits us. There are riches that we can mine from the Scriptures that will change our lives. They are full of God's promises. They can transform us, and they tell us who God created us to be, how much God loves us, and how God is giving us direction. Now, there's a second highlight from our covenant of 1731 that tells us back then what it meant to be Stanwich Church and says the same for us today, and that is the enjoyment of Christian ordinances. Now, my guess is you don't use the word ordinances very commonly in your daily speech, but ordinances means sacraments. And what I love about how they formed those words, those really smart farmers back in 1731 that put it together, was they used the word enjoyment of ordinances. I love that. We celebrate here at Stanwich Church when it comes to sacraments too, the communion and baptism, which is common among most Protestant traditions. They're not meant to be something boring, nor are they meant to be something so solemn that we don't enjoy them. In fact, one of my favorite moments as a pastor was getting to baptize my cousin Vivi. She was 4 years old, and she was so excited to get baptized like her big sisters. So after we went through the baptism, I knelt down beside her, and I told her, "Vivi, you are now baptized." And her response was jumping up and down. And she shouted out, "I'm now baptized." And everyone around was so overwhelmed by her joy that they started laughing and some of them started crying. And we just felt God's presence in that place. But we all realized at that moment she had the exact right response. That's how important this is. Many of you had, last spring, had immersion baptisms or rededications. And I remember your faces of joy and sometimes tears. You were glowing and radiant coming out of the waters. God's Holy Spirit joy was shining through you. We saw you become new creations. And many of you were there witnessing this, and you can back me up on this, that you did see this. When we experience God's joy and delight, we're saying yes to him. We're coming home to him. Getting baptized requires us to participate personally, but we do it as a community. We come forward, or like today with Hunter, we bring our children forward and affirm our faith in Jesus, and we enter the waters, whether we do it as a sprinkling or as an immersion. St. Augustine said, "Sacraments are an outward and visible sign of an inward and invisible grace." The outward sign for us in baptism is water, and it's bread and wine or unfermented juice that we use here for communion. That grace is undeserved favor. The inward and spiritual grace is a deeper release of the Holy Spirit so we can get more of God, and we offer ourselves to him in these sacraments. In baptism, we say yes to God's saving love. We are washed clean of sin. All that's corrupt and broken in us is forgiven by God. We're united with Jesus in his death and resurrection, and we're knit together as a church family. And finally, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We become part of Jesus' mission to the world. As I said over little Hunter, we are all sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Now, the reason we baptize is because Jesus himself was baptized by John, but also because of his words to us in the last book of Matthew, in the Great Commission. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit." Every time someone is baptized, we all have the chance to reaffirm our baptismal vows. But not only that, if you need another suggestion, I'll give you one from Martin Luther. He was the great Protestant theologian. And he had a plaque in his room that said something very important and easy to remember. "Every time you wash your face, remember your baptism." Every time you wash your face, remember your baptism. And what he's saying there is, as you wash dirt off your skin, remember that Jesus is cleansing your soul. We are forgiven, loved, and born again in him. In our second sacrament that comes from our text today is the breaking of bread. Jesus led that first communion in the upper room with his disciples on the night that he was betrayed, and he told them, and he tells us, to do the same as we remember him. Now, like baptism, communion involves our participation. We come forward, we repent and submit to Jesus as we physically take his bread and body. We ingest and consume it, we're nourished and sustained by Jesus. Now, there are many views on what actually happens when the elements are prayed over or consecrated. Some churches believe the bread and wine transform into the real body and blood of Jesus, which is the position of the Catholic Church. Most Protestants and Stanwich Church believe that Jesus Christ is present in and with the bread and wine whenever the Lord's Supper is celebrated. His presence is received spiritually by faith. Others view it more as a symbol or remembrance pointing to Jesus' body and blood shed for us. But there's something all these views have in common, and that is the Holy Spirit is with or in the elements, and his divine power supernaturally unites us with God. And for all Christians, how this happens and how God's grace is imparted to us is a mystery. A few years ago, I was traveling and I went to a church alone, And, you know, it might have been because I was in a season of some sadness. I was a recent empty nester. So I found that I was sitting in church and I was feeling very uninspired. In fact, I felt very flat and disconnected. But when they had time for communion, I went forward to receive the elements. And I had an experience I had never had before. And I haven't had since. But I was given the elements, I partook of them, and I literally felt electricity going through my body. And I was shocked. I did not expect this at all. Here I was in a position of not feeling at all connected or close to God, and I had this encounter. And I look back on that thinking how wonderful a gift it was to me that God gave me that awareness of his presence in a season where I needed to know he still saw me. He still loved me. And also, I believe he was re-energizing me and refilling me to come back to Greenwich as one of your pastors. We do something unusual here at Stanwich when it comes to communion. We actually, unlike many other non-denominational churches, we actually celebrate it every single week. And this was started under Pastor Chuck. And I love that we do this. Because what we're doing is saying yes. Every week we're participating in saying yes to God's invitation. We're engaging our faith in action. And it also reminds us that we need to be refilled with God's grace and Holy Spirit all the time. And we get to do so together in community. Just as we eat and drink to sustain our physical lives, we need to keep returning to the Lord's table to continue living a vibrant and spiritual life. The word and sacrament are alive, and God wants us to encounter him in them, to change us. And that's what we saw happening with that early church that grew and grew because people around them saw their transformation, and they wanted to come and see what was happening. They had heard rumors about the awe and God showing up, and the apostles and their signs and wonders, the teaching and their generosity. And it led to amazing results. Returning to our text, our last two verses, we find in verses 46 and 7, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." And I can tell you that I have been here the last 6 years, and it was true many years ago and continues to be true, and that is that God continues to grow this congregation day by day. He adds to the numbers. And I know we are all blessed as a team to be able to offer the welcome to the Lord's table and to baptize you or your children. When we participate together, the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to others through us, and they want what you have. You may have been asked, "Where does your peace come from?" Or, "Why is it that you feel joy in these circumstances?" So we come, we get refilled, we take it home so that we can share our lives and our faith with others. And we do so in Jesus' name and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church, and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.